Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Putin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Recently, the health minister acknowledged that the number of children born to Malay families had low COVID-19 vaccination rates compared to those from other ethnic groups. Now, it was also revealed that as of February 10th, less than 50% of Malays in the country have received their COVID-19 booster doses and that the take-up rate continues to be slow. Now, how can we better understand what this is grounded in and how might this help the government and other stakeholders address the reluctance among the majority community? Joining us on the show now is Dr. Sakina Sulong. She's a family medicine specialist with Medical Mythbusters Malaysia. Dr. Sakina, Kari Jamaluddin has said that Malay children have the lowest vaccination rate. Only 8.4% of Malay children have been vaccinated against COVID-19. And this compares to the 46% of Chinese children that have had at least one dose. I'm just wondering whether there's any data as to why there is hesitancy among Malay parents, or is this merely a presumption that the low vaccination rates are because of hesitancy?
Okay, Melissa, there is a study actually have been done to study about the vaccine refusal. In Malaysia, there was a study done, I think last year, come out in a journal. Actually, the title was a qualitative study on parents' reasons and recommendation for childhood vaccination refusal in Malaysia. So in that study, the researcher found out that the reason why parents refuse to vaccinate their kids or their children, there are two groups of reason. First is the personal health belief among the parents, and second is about the vaccine itself, meaning that vaccine related concerns. So in regards of the personal health belief, some of the parents have lack of confidence with the modern medicine itself, what they call as allopathy medicine, and this actually I think are quite worrying nowadays. They were thinking that vaccination is part of pharmaceutical conspiracy. There's a part of plan to actually to sell the vaccine, and some of them also prefer natural remedies. Actually, this is not peculiar to Malaysians only. I think in Western also they are seeing the trend, where the parents prefer a garlic or some other natural remedies to cure the illness. And I can't deny that Malay's parents also, we have to think about religious issues. Some of them are saying that the vaccine is not halal. Is this, we know that it's not true, but for this parent, they're quite rigid in their so-called religious belief, that they tend to reject whatever the medicine or whatever a medical intervention which they thought come from Western. And I think that's the most part of it. But there are also, like I said, another group which is actually they're concerned about the vaccine itself, about the negative effects. They were thinking about, vaccine can cause you cancer, vaccine is not proven to be safe, vaccine can damage the children's system. So, and unfortunately, these are widely circulated in the social media. So it takes a toll. Among these parents, they tend to believe whatever they read over the social media. So,
if I can just ask you a question regarding the difference in numbers that we're seeing, right? So it's just that it's very stark. I mean, the comparison that Melissa gave just now between the Chinese community and the Malay community, one is 48%, one is 8%. There is hesitancy, I guess, in every community. I think that would be true to say. The question is, why is it so significant in the Malay community? And is there any way of sort of pinpointing what it is? Is it a cultural, social? Is it the location of where vaccinations are given out? Is it a geographic issue? Is there any way of trying to pinpoint why there's such a dramatic difference?
I would say there is a culture and also religion issue. These two main point, because as I have mentioned before, the religious the parents believe whatever comes from Western is considered as not halal, and then they think this is a part of conspiracy. And Malays are unfortunately so gullible, so they tend to believe this as part of a conspiracy to destroy Islam, things like that. So that's why it is so glaringly
different.
I mean, among the Malays, they tend to believe this, and
if I may ask you, I mean, one of the things that strikes me the most is the difference between the children that are vaccinated versus the parents. So parents are fully vaccinated themselves, yet are hesitant or reluctant to vaccinate their children. So when you say that perhaps there is a certain distrust with Western medicine, or perhaps there is personal health, personal health beliefs, or even misinformation or disinformation about vaccine safety, the parents themselves are vaccinated, but they refuse to vaccinate their children. I'm trying to understand why that is.
I think the initial part when the cases are so high, people are really scared. So they are looking for ways to actually to a way out to save themselves. So when the vaccine comes, initially we saw the hesitancy as well. But as more people get vaccination, then they see, oh, actually it's safe to to get the vaccine. So more adults come forward and get themselves vaccinated. Because if you remember, when we launched our program last year, when the case start to pick up around July, and our vaccination program pick up right after that in September. So actually, they have to take it because they see the proof in front of their eyes. If they don't take the vaccine, this is what happened. They got severe COVID, they got admitted. But as for kids, for now, they didn't see the bad effect yet. The thinking was, oh, if kids got COVID, there's nothing much, it won't be as serious as adult. So they didn't see the bad effect of not getting vaccination. And somehow when there are people who actually come forward and say that, oh, we don't know the effect of vaccine in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time. So that bring the concern from the parents. What will happen? If I may live for another 20 years, but how about my kids? I don't want them to actually to grow up having some medical problem due to the vaccine. So there are actually untruth information or misleading information which actually circulating around, and unfortunately, I don't know why Chinese, if you ask me, why Chinese is not as gullible as Malays to believe this, I don't have the concrete answer, but among Malays, that's it.
So maybe it comes down to issues of social leadership, right? I mean, what you see people in society that have authority, who have cultural or social authority, are saying. I want to ask you, though, so we can leave aside the question of the Chinese community, but talking about the Malay community, how do you address this? Is it just a question of information? If you say, well, in fact, there is now a fatwa saying that, the vaccines are halal, it's not a halal or haram issue, it's merely a question of medical science, does that change people's behavior? What actually drives the behavior? And is information sufficient?
Knowing and doing is two different things. Meaning that you may know the correct information, but whether you believe it or not, or whether it may affect your behavior or your action, is another thing. So I think during this time, pandemic, people rely heavily on social media to get information. And when you got a lot of information coming in, whether it is the truth or untruth, sometimes it make it give you confusion. And there are actually studies showing also that in population in which there are distrust towards the government, the there is higher tendency for the public actually to reject whatever the government is bringing on the table. So they will like, so it's not good actually in pandemic era for people to distrust the government. So that is another thing that you have to think about. And in order, I think that's why we need a leader who actually can give a good example and can bring people to actually to take the vaccine and to show a good example, like what our YBMK has been doing. I mean, he's not only he has doing a lot of things. He has been doing a lot of things, like he took Sinovac when they were at that time people were actually rejecting Sinovac. He took the Sinovac to show the confidence in that vaccine, and then afterwards recently he brought his kids to get the vaccination to show to the people that actually this is are the things that the leader can do actually to bring up the confidence in the public.
Do you see that happening? I mean, addressing questions of trust or distrust or trust deficit will take a long time to build. And right now, there is an immediate need to increase vaccination rates, particularly among children. What do you think can be done in the shorter run? I mean, aside from just, you know, good examples from leaders and the rest of society, what else can we, how else can government improve communication, particularly when it comes to transparency? And would that change parents' opinion or parents' reluctance to vaccinate their children?
That's quite interesting, Melissa. I was I can't answer it straight, but then I would say whether it can improve or not, because our Malay society, we tend to have our religious leader, and I think there should be ways to actually for these religious leaders or the society leaders to actually to be to have discussion, open discussion with the government, I would say KKM, and become transparent. Because there are certain people who are saying that government is actually denying all the bad side effect of the vaccine, but KKM has come up with the number of cases of AEFI, but still it is not enough to actually to assure parents. So I think those leaders who actually openly are criticizing government should be approached and have a mutual or a face-to-face discussion with KKM, and they need to be addressed.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Sakina, for joining us on the show today. That was Dr. Sakina Sulung from Medical Mythbusters Malaysia. And we're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Let's continue our look at how to best address the low COVID-19 vaccination rates among children born to Malay families, especially when compared to those from other ethnic groups. And this has already been acknowledged by the Health Ministry. Are there cultural, economic, and social reasons for this perceived hesitancy? And are they shared by those from other ethnic groups? Let's ask our next guest, Associate Professor Dr. Rozaini Khairuddin. She is a cognitive psychologist at Universiti Kebangsaan Malaysia. Rozaini, the Health Ministry has acknowledged that that Malay parents in particular are somewhat generally hesitant to vaccinating their children against COVID-19. And this is even though that they themselves are personally double or triple dosed. I'm just wondering how you're making sense of this difference, this cognitive dissonance.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm very glad to be here. Before I go to your question, I would like to make it clear that all my responses and opinions are based on my expertise as a cognitive psychologist. Your question is already exhibiting to us that how we judge things. So let me just say something about decision making. It's it's deciding about everyday thing. We decide every day. We make decisions. Now decisions involve making choices, where we judge about something, what to wear, what to eat for breakfast, and so on. Now, decisions involve a lot of things. Sometimes it can be easy, sometimes it can be hard or challenging. So coming back to your question, Melissa, why some parents are hesitant about getting their children vaccinated has hundreds of possibilities. The fact is that decision-making process can be influenced by many, many, many factors. So if I can tell you a little bit about, at least from the cognitive psychology perspective, one factor that is very influential or rather very dominant in influencing us making decisions is heuristics. Heuristics is actually something that we use, how the brain works, that helps us to make very fast decision and with little information. Now, it's good that we use heuristics, but sometimes it can lead to biases. So that is where we want to know, the outcome of the decision, the choice that we make, whether it's right or not.
Dr. Rozaini, if I could just ask you at this point in time, I'm just looking at what facts are available in the public sphere through the media and so on and so forth, what the Health Ministry has said. Would it be correct of us to frame this as a question of culture and society? I mean, because there's such a huge discrepancy between the vaccination rates between, say, the Chinese community at about 48%, and the Malay community at about 8%. Would it be correct for us to say that it must be an issue of ethnicity or religious beliefs that are dominant in the Malay community, so on and so forth? Would that be a legitimate conclusion to come to?
I wouldn't say it's a conclusion, because let me just admit myself, I haven't done a real study as an academician, a researcher. We don't just make assumptions. However, what we do know is, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of factors can influence our decisions. Culture, according to literature, definitely can influence. Now, when we say culture, we tend to associate culture with nationality, or as you mentioned, Sharad, some ethnic groups. You are right, actually. A culture is more than that. It involves religion, social class. Now, these things or aspects can actually distinctively put people in certain group of cultures that we call it. I came across this article, actually not by me, by a Sage work group, that, again, I'm very careful in saying this, Sharad, because I myself haven't done the study. I don't have the data. But what this working group is getting at is, sure enough, something that is contextual can influence people's decision making. And as you mentioned, and as what I've said earlier, religion, for example, or even group leaders, as in leaders of a group, can actually influence decision making.
All right. Dr. Rosania, I want to ask you, you know, for people who have perhaps decided not to immediately vaccinate their children, so maybe it's not a clear no, but it's more of a wait and see approach or a slight reluctance or hesitance for parents, particularly within the Malay community, I'm wondering, is that decision sealed? Is that a decision that's done and dusted? I'm wondering what strategies can be applied to in this context to perhaps convince parents otherwise. You know, often there's this, you know, you don't even engage people who are anti-vaxxers or there's no changing their minds. Is this the case? Can good communication strategies or, you know, cognitive psychology strategies perhaps persuade parents to consider otherwise?
Again, I'd like to remind or stress that my expertise is really looking into how people make decisions. In this context, surely context can influence, and we've agreed that context in the meaning of probably a certain group of people, or as I mentioned, culture just now. There are other factors, for example, media, social media, can influence very much whether it is put positively or negative, can definitely influence people's acceptance or hesitancy. So other than that, yes, sure, at an individual level, for example, if somebody reads a lot, also, you know, can influence one's acceptance or hesitancy. Biases in terms of what they've experienced before, maybe some bad experience with some vaccines, again, can influence one's acceptance or hesitancy.
Yeah, so Rosania, I think the question that, because we know that even with the first round of vaccination, there was always a percentage of people who just won't be persuaded, right? There was a percentage of people who for multiple reasons decided against being vaccinated. But here we're talking about a situation where the statistics seem to suggest a rather significant skewing in the case of vaccinations for children within the Malay community. I know you said you haven't done specific research on this, but if we could sort of draw back and looking at the last 2 years in terms of communication, in terms of attempts by government to shape behavior, there's always this carrot and the stick, so on and so forth, as a way of pushing people. And our earlier guest said that, in fact, there was a spike in vaccination rates as there was a spike in infection rates and death rates. So the people were in some way scared into getting themselves vaccinated, whatever the hesitance. What are your general sense of the communication strategies that have been used? Where do you think they go wrong or get it right?
Again, Sharad, I like when you mention statistics. When we look at statistics, they are numbers. But really what we want to know is the underlying determinants, why people make such decisions. When I say decisions, it works both ways. It can either accept something or hesitant to accept something. Sure enough, as you mentioned, Gerard, statistics shows as such. But again, back to my point about a lot of things that can influence, I'm getting at the underlying determinants, which would be interesting to know. I would definitely like to do a research on that. It could be many reasons. A certain group, probably the thing that I want to touch about culture, for example, in the literature, the dominant so-called discussion on the differences in cultures are very heavily based on collectivistic cultures and individualistic cultures. Being Asians, we are more towards being collectivistic cultures if we compare ourselves to the North American Caucasian cultures. So what we know, at least about cultures or group of people, is that the group is very strong. And being a collectivistic group or culture, we tend to conform to a group. So I don't know, maybe that can give us some direction into the underlying determinants of why is it a certain group. Whatever it is, what we do know is it does influence individuals' decision-making.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Dr. Rosaini Khairuddin, cognitive psychologist with UKM there. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.